conference to address scheduling and procedural matters for MEP 19033. I'm Ryan Vansel, the hearing examiner presiding over this matter. If I could ask the party representatives, starting with the appellant, to identify themselves for the record.
Sure. And do I need to do the microphone? Or
As far as this from you, this is not to augment sound. It's okay. To record who's here, so you do need to be recorded.
All right. So my name is Alex Seidels. I'm appearing for the appellant, Jack Wozniak. I'm from the law firm Bricklin & Newman here in town.
Thank you.
Maybe you've heard of it, Mr. Examiner.
Thank you. Are there any representatives on this side of the table?
Yeah, for the applicant, Brandon Gribben of Helsel Fetterman.
I'm Ellen Abisher, land use planner for the City of Seattle.
Thank you.
It's primary, but I am Jerry Souter, planning supervisor.
And is which of you will be representing on this?
I will.
Thank you. All right. So my list includes going over possibility for pre-hearing motions, if there's any discovery that needs to be taken care of before we can schedule things, a number of witnesses, exhibits, and hearing dates. Are there any other items that the parties need to address as part of the pre-hearing conference? And have the parties had an opportunity to be in communication with each other? Is there any discussion of settlement or mediation?
We have had some few discussions, We probably should know in, I would say, a week whether or not it'll settle.
All right, that would be helpful. And just as a reminder, we have a relationship established with the King County Interlocal. If the services of a mediator is needed, you can simply contact my legal assistant. And Galen Edlin Cho, you're in communication with him here at the beginning of the pre-hearing conference. Let him know. That can be any party initiating that, giving a call, saying we'd be interested in mediation, and then the interlocal contacts the parties. And there's no cost to that. Those are volunteer mediators. All right, let's move on then to pre-hearing motions. Does any party anticipate bringing a pre-hearing motion?
The appellants do not.
Yeah, so if we're not able to reach a settlement, we do intend on filing a motion to dismiss.
Okay. Just for all of you, the hearing examiner schedule right now is full for January. We also have an awkward schedule for February, where a lot of our dates are just being held right now. The city anticipates a number of appeals for the waterfront LID assessment and or objections, I should say, and we're just not sure, and so we've booked out a lot of time for the hearing examiner's chamber for that. We also may have be anticipating some changes in hearing examiner staff, so we're a bit up in the air. So to set a firm date for the hearing, what we're going to be looking for is a hearing date in March. I will offer to the parties that if a date can be made available in February, as we find out more about the waterfront LID, mm-hmm. And or maybe have a pro tem hearing exam or something along those lines, we could offer an earlier date. But for purposes of today, we want to get something on the calendar, get a schedule laid out, and proceed under the assumption that we're going with a hearing in March. Okay. So all that as a preface, Mr. Gribben, when would you want to submit your pre-hearing motion?
So we can have that filed the 31st of December.
If for some reason the applicant does not file a motion to dismiss, the city expects that it will. The department expects that it will.
Okay.
And would that also be December 31st?
Yes, I'll set a single date for it. Yeah, that if either the city and or applicant want to, then I'll just set the same date for that. All right, then let's look for a response date. The rules provide for 7 days. also know that we've got a holiday in there, and for some, I don't know if you do that in private practice, but
responding to motions is my
holiday. Right, exactly. What a good time. Yes. Happy New Year. So what's your schedule like around that?
Well, I mean, I'm planning to be out of town January 1st and 2nd. Can we say response January 10?
Yes.
And if I could have a reply due on January 15th.
That'll work. That'll give me an opportunity to endeavor to the best of my ability. Well, I've got a hearing, I think, the following week. If you can, I'm not going to clip your times on that, but Mr. Griffin, this would be more in your court on the reply. Give me more time, I would appreciate it. So if you can get it, I'm gonna set the deadline for the 15th.
Mm-hmm.
But if say you get it on the 14th,
mm-hmm.
Just so you know what my schedule is, the last week of January, Tuesday through Friday, I've got a hearing. On the 4th of February, the Waterfront LID hearing starts.
Okay.
So to get a decision to you in advance of those hearings starting,
mm-hmm.
I would really have to have as much time as I possibly could. So a day could help. I will still endeavor to do that if you get it to me on the 15th, but I can't guarantee
13th
anything.
Or 14th would be preferable.
Yeah, sure. But I leave that to your scheduling.
Okay.
and what you need to do for briefing, so don't truncate yourself if you can't do that.
So I take it, Mr. Examiner, you don't do oral argument on motions?
Not unless it's an extremely complex legal matter.
I don't think it would be necessary.
It's rare.
For this,
yeah.
But certainly, if the examiner thought it would be helpful, then
I can ask for it. But I've done it twice in 3 years. So. All right, then. Is there any ongoing discovery that might impact the schedule? I don't engage in or participate in discovery unless there's a motion made to assist the parties. But is there anything that's outstanding for request to the city, for example? Or
I don't think so, and I'm just coming into this case this week,
mm-hmm.
So Jack has been handling most of the stuff himself. We've got their arborist reports and the SEPA checklist and all that stuff. Are you guys planning to put on exhibits other than those, that kind of supplementary?
I mean, we haven't made obviously a final decision, but I would imagine it's stuff that's publicly available on the portal.
Right.
But I don't think it's going to be very document intensive.
Okay, so we're probably going to put on, assuming it goes to a hearing, an arborist and a traffic guy. Do you know Ross Tillman?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so those would be our experts. I don't know if you would want to depose them. They'll probably do a written report that'll kind of speak for itself, and we can turn that over as part of our exhibit disclosures. So I don't know. I don't think we'll be seeking discovery from you. I'm not intending to depose your arborist.
Are there any existing or planned public records requests?
Jack, you don't have anything outstanding. I think we've got everything from the city.
Right.
So.
It doesn't sound like discovery is going to impact the schedule, so I'll leave that to you guys if you want to do it.
Okay.
If we have a hearing scheduled in March, you're going to have ample time to do that.
Right, yeah, okay. All right,
so
that's fine.
Let's jump into where you were
Do you want to
taking
set a
cutoff,
though, for that, like, in case somebody does want to do depositions?
Not unless, I mean, if you all want me to, I can. But if nobody's even talking about doing it, I don't typically put it
in. I think that's fine. So,
yeah. All right. Let's move on then to talking about the hearing itself. Mr. Seidels, you indicated that you've got a couple of experts. How many more witnesses would you
have? Probably two experts and then Jack himself.
Okay.
And potentially another two lay witnesses.
Okay. And how roughly, I kind of got a sense that it's not going to be a document intensive, but volume-wise, you have a sense of how many exhibits might be introduced?
Arborist report, traffic study, site photographs, and then whatever's in the file. Would there be any other documentary stuff?
My initial plans had potentially another 5 to 10 exhibits, but again, that was prior to retaining representation.
Sure.
So.
Nobody's held to the number they indicate today. This is just so I know how many days we need for hearing. So that's not too much. How about for the applicant?
the applicant, I would anticipate 5 witnesses. It would likely include somebody from DCI.
Okay.
And for exhibits 10 to 15.
Okay. And DCI, how many witnesses would you anticipate?
2 at the most, and it's probably an overlap.
Overlap with that. Okay. All right. Do the parties have a sense of whether 2 or 3 days would be better for hearing based on that number?
I would like to err on the side of caution. Mm-hmm. I think we could probably fit it in 2, but mm-hmm. I think 3 is best. Mm-hmm.
All right, let's look for a 3-day gap in March that works for us. And then we'll work backwards for witness and exhibit list exchange. First week of March 2, we could schedule for March 2, 3, and 4.
Does that work with your schedule?
I should be returning the night of the 1st. I have to double check flights. It's 2nd might be tight.
You know, we could also do the 9, 10, 11 if that isn't a huge impact on anybody's schedule. We've tentatively indicated to the city that we're holding the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th for a rezone hearing, but I was willing to give it to you all if it's easily available, but if it's not, then the 9th, 10th, 11th would actually be better for our scheduling.
Yeah, that works for us. Okay. 9th and 11th.
All right. So we'll set the hearing dates for March 9, 10, 11. The looking back from that, February 24th will be the date due for appellant for the exhibit and witness list to be filed and for exhibits to be exchanged with the city and the applicant. Again, the exhibits are not filed with the hearing examiner's office, so it's just filing with us the witness and exhibit lists and then exchanging copies of exhibits that the other parties don't have, like your report, for example, on that date. And then corresponding responsibility for the respondents will be on March 2nd. Are there any other dates or items that the parties believe we need to address as part of the pre-hearing order?
We don't have anything else.
Okay. I'm going to go back over these. Tell me if I get anything wrong or if we need to adjust anything based on last-minute review of your schedules. Right now, what I have is if there are any pre-hearing motions by the parties, this would be the city and the applicant. That would be due December 31st. Any response from the appellant would be due January 10, and a reply would be due January 15. The next date we have then are exhibit and witness lists and exchange of exhibits due by the appellant on February 24th. The same due for respondent, city and applicant on March 2nd, and then a 3-day hearing set for March 9, 10, and 11.
What about the
I think I've been pretty open with folks. I tend to disfavor pre-hearing briefing. I don't prohibit anyone because you're the experts in your case, so you need to prosecute it as you will. If you feel it's necessary to explain some nuance of law in advance, that could be helpful. Otherwise, what I typically find with pre-hearing briefing is people telling me they're going to win when they get to hearing, and that we don't have any facts and evidence, so they're, you know, wait till the hearing to tell me that anyway. What I do find typically very helpful and what seems to be the case in most hearings is that we do post-hearing briefing rather than doing an oral argument so that what I have, and particularly particular in a case where I have counsel present, instead of doing a quick oral argument at the end of the hearing, I have the benefit of written briefs that reference exhibits and testimony and that are now in the record. So that's typically how it goes. But again, we do get pre-hearing briefs. I'd leave that to you, whether you want to do that or not. And I don't set schedules for that unless, again, parties want it. Okay, thank you very much.
So Brandon, you're going to talk to your client today and then get into us.
Yeah, I'll get back to you, yeah.
In the room is Christy Carr. She's our environmental.
Oh, okay. I was going to ask.
So just so you know, she's
sure.
She's one of us.
Yes.